Back to My Garden, episode 91.
Welcome to Back to My Garden. Discover your passion for gardening. Here's Dave Ledoux.
What's the hottest trend in gardening? I think the hottest trend is aquaponics. Can you really grow a massive garden powered by fish? Find out more and discover the secrets to building fish-powered gardens at www.backtomygarden.com/fish. It's finally here. 99 remarkably clever gardening ideas that you can use immediately. It's a free report. You get instant access. It's an epic list of tips, hacks, and gardening shortcuts just for you. Go to www.backtomygarden.com/clever. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world when you listen to this. I'm Dave Ledoux, and welcome to another edition of Back to My Garden. And I'm excited that you're here, folks. We have a great guest and a unique guest today. Eric loves the connection to seasonal cycles of nature, escaping the city stresses, and the feeling of self-sufficiency from growing one's own flavorful vegetables. Eric is an American gardener working in England, adventuring in organic and permaculture gardening, and living in the big city of London, England. We have a ton to talk about. This is going to be fabulous. Please welcome to the show from London, England, Mr. Eric Stelzer. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you doing, Dave?
I'm great. It's so unusual to hear an American accent when I talk to somebody from England. It's fabulous.
Yeah, there is a few of us over here, but it's not something you hear every day.
I just gave you the briefest of introductions. I want to get to know you better, and our listeners definitely want to hear your stories, Eric. Take a minute or two, just relax, and share with us a little bit about your background and how did you get into gardening?
Well, I've been gardening ever since I was a little kid. I grew up in Massachusetts and in a town that was famous for either golf courses or apple orchards. My first job that I had was even working on an apple orchard and selling veg from the side of the road at the roadside stands and the extra cucumber or zucchinis that you had. And no matter where I've lived in a lot of different places, whether it's Massachusetts. I lived out in Colorado for quite a while, as well as in New Hampshire before I lived here in London. And I've always gardened along the way enjoyed the different challenges of the different systems that you're growing in, whether it's the mountains of Colorado, the sandy soils of Cape Cod, or the clay soils of London. So it's been a lot of fun to have that as a hobby.
Awesome. Good starting point. For listeners driving the cars, I'm going to have all the links up for Eric's resources at Back to My Garden. You can follow Eric on Twitter at TheBeanPole1. That's the number one. And then Eric also has a blog at www.thebeanpole.wordpress.com. I think where I wanted to start, Eric, you're what's called an allotment gardener. On your blog, you mentioned you have a 5.5 rod allotment. For our friends using the metric system or yards and feet in the States, what's a rod? And tell us a little bit about your allotment.
Oh, geez, I don't know where the rod originated from, but it is how they measure the allotment. As far as the size of the allotment, it's about 30 feet by 50 feet, and that's a half a plot versus a full plot. I need to update the blog there because it has grown in just recent weeks, and I've taken on another half a plot, so I have another 5.5, and that one is specifically an orchard, a little mini orchard that has about 8 or 9 fruit trees on it. It's a lot of fun to go out there. It's one of the nice parts about living in London is that it's such a green city and it's just so easy to get to the outdoors. And it's just a little oasis in amongst the rest of the buildings here.
For the listeners who haven't been to England, London is one of the most incredible cities on earth. What is it, Eric? Like 7-8 million?
8.5 million it is now, yeah.
Wow. And so they have gardens for people in the city. It's remarkable. How far away from where you live is your allotment? An hour or less?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's I only live about a mile away, okay. And we don't have a car. I typically either walk down to the allotment, or which is about a 20-minute walk, or I can take the bus down there. You know, there's a lot of vehicle, you know, car hire share schemes here too. So it's quite often that I'll get a zip van and, you know, run down to the horse stable that's not too far from here and pile up with manure to bring it to the allotment. So there's lots of different ways to get around. And you're mentioning about allotments, and it's really interesting culture here in the UK, and it goes back almost 100 years, where it's a requirement that each council has to have an allotment or a space for people to grow. It is a much different culture. In the US there are community gardens, and some of those community gardens will either have your own plot and you can work on growing it. I know that's the case in my mother's town where she lives in Cape Cod. But then where I was living in New Hampshire, they had a community garden that was grown by a group of people. And so you didn't have any one specific area, but there's a whole different mentality to, growing your own food and having allotments here in the UK and to a certain extent Europe, because Germany also has it with their Schreber Gardens as well.
Nice. Again, London is a very old city compared over here in North America. We had Matthew Pottage on a couple shows ago. He's a curator over at Weasley Gardens. And Weasley is older than Canada, to put it in perspective.
I listened to that podcast, RHS Wisley, it's a great gem for all the country of England as well. It's such a nice place to get out to for a day visit. So if anybody's over here visiting London, make sure to get out to Surrey and visit RHS Wisley.
Now, I may be totally wrong. It's been known to happen before, but I would assume that your growing weather climate in London is very similar to Massachusetts.
It's not.
I'm wrong.
It's quite different. England is just a much more temperate climate. And so it doesn't get as hot during the summertime and it doesn't get as cold during the wintertime. Well, New England in general, you know, you have a very distinct four seasons. And so it does affect what you grow and when you grow and when you plant certain elements. Here in the UK, you can't, well, even in New England, you can grow year round, but in New England, you really have to have some sort of a greenhouse. Well, here in the UK, especially in London, where it's even that much more temperate than say up in Manchester or York, you can have certain vegetables that are growing, broad beans right now, for example. That's a common thing that people have in their allotment growing, ready to have an early harvest. In our allotment that we have, we have some spinach and some perpetual spinach that's growing, so that we can get out there and get some fresh veg for winter time.
Wow, you read my mind. I was going to say, here we are, late January. You don't have snow on the ground, I assume.
No, it's been cold here, but London hasn't had any snow yet. They've been having some snow up north, though.
Yeah, yeah. They don't do well with snow, do they? The cities, the highways just grind to a halt.
Yeah, if you get 2 inches here in London, look out. It'll cause a lot of troubles.
So in your winter garden, you got broad beans, you've got perpetual spinach. What kind of a 2014 season did you have? Was it a good summer? What did you grow?
It was a good season. Yeah, it was my first year having the allotment. I was playing with it and trying to see what grew well, what didn't grow well. I've been living here in London now for 2 years, and it's the first time I've really gotten into growing things. And so I was just trying out different things. What did really well was corn. I'd never grown corn before in my life. Well, I should take that back. I've grown corn, but I've never grown corn successfully in my life. I've just always had a real hard time with fertilization and getting the kernels to be just right. And this year, my allotment neighbor, he was kind enough to give me some corn seedlings that he had gotten on offer at the local greenhouse, and put 10 stalks in, and out of the 10, 8 of them worked out, and each of them had a good 2 or 3 years. So it was good. That was a good one. Beans, I did really, really well with beans, and cabbage. I did an early cabbage, and I planted it probably early May, and it was harvested towards the end of June. I should say I planted the seedlings in early May. And it was just a bumper crop this year, even with all the slugs and snails that had to fight off a bit there. But yeah, it was great.
Wow, fantastic. I guess you got 1,500 square feet on your half allotment, and then you've got another 1,500 square feet in your orchard. You got some space. That's good.
Yeah, and it's a process though, because some people take a philosophy that they just want to get in there, get the rototiller, and start, you know, working the soil, and the tactic that I've taken a little bit more to it is to use nature and let it do its work for you. And so there was when I took over the allotment, the veg plot that I have, it was a sea of weeds. I had weeds all the way up to my hip. So it's been a gradual process to get a lot of those perennial weeds out, the couch grasses, the knotweeds that are, or I don't have Japanese knotweed. That's something you definitely want to be concerned about, but bindweed, that's what I was thinking of. There's just some of those ones that are really hard and take some time. I've just done it through a more gradual process. So the whole veg plot wasn't being used at any one time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I understand completely. I was fascinated that you get your horse manure, you sourced it locally from a stable.
Yeah, so I live over here in Beckenham area, and in Dulwich, there's a stable facilities over there. And it's right in the heart of the city, and it's a place for most children, are the people that are going over there to learn how to horseback ride. And they give out free manure, so I head over there on occasion and get a load and get it to the allotment so that it can start its process of decomposing.
For free. I was just about to say, do they charge? Wow. You can't really go in the tube with a big sack of manure, though.
Yeah, no, that makes it tough. But, and you just need to – one thing is with getting that manure, you do need to be mindful of where you're getting it and what sort of herbicides and pesticides are being used so that that doesn't actually get passed on to your fruit and your veg on your plots. But this stable that we use, it's fine. And they source their straw and everything from good sources.
Yeah, that's an excellent tip for the listeners. So remember, whatever the horses eat ends up in the garden. So it's worth that extra effort to make sure. Well, in your case, Eric, you're into organic and permaculture gardening, so you can't really fool around, can you?
No, you definitely don't want those things going along. So it's just part of the research process that goes with it.
You just concluded your first summer in the allotment. Did anything, were there any failures or disasters or anything refusing to grow and frustrating you?
I don't think so. It's not that they didn't happen. It's just that I guess I like to think of not making mistakes in your allotment. Every gardener is going to not succeed at certain things, and it's just about learning from those situations. And as long as you learn from them, they can help educate you further on down the way. And so they're not really mistakes then. But some of the things that happened that I had some opportunities to learn about was my peas. They didn't do too well this year. And I tried two or three times to get the peas to work. And I did get some, but I just had such a challenge, whether it was I put them out a little too early and then it got cool, or the big thing I've been having to get used to with the allotment is slugs and snails, and put them out there and they devoured them. And then the next patch I put out there, and I didn't put any sort of cage over it, and the pigeons came and ate them all. And so it was just one pest after another that I kept missing out on. And so I definitely am going to have a different plan for doing my peas in 2015.
Wow. In a big city, you have slugs, snails, and pigeons. At least you don't have deer. I guess you might have rabbits, though, right?
We don't have any rabbits, no. That's certainly more of a concern out in the countryside in England, but no rabbits here. We have a lot of foxes.
Yeah, the foxes ate all the rabbits.
Yeah, yeah. And there's plenty of food sources for the foxes in the city, that's for sure.
You have the unique opportunity now to garden on two continents. What are some of the compare and contrast between gardening in America and gardening in England?
I think one of the big things for me is getting used to the soil over here. When we first moved over here, we were living up in Cumbria, and that was my first taste of what English soil is actually like. And certainly, you know, make a generalization across the country, and it's different in different areas of the country. But in general, it's a much richer, fertile soil. It's very clayey, and it sticks to a lot of things. And so it gets difficult to work with. And so one of the things that I'm doing at the allotment is working on building soil and adding more compost to it, not necessarily turning it over, and just building it up so that I have some good organic rich matter on top of that clay then. So that's one area. I've talked a little bit about the slugs and snails and pigeons, and I've just never had to contend with them on the sheer level that they exist here. So that's been a whole new area that I keep working at controlling. And then the other area is just the temperate nature of it here versus in the States. For example, like during the summertime with the tomatoes, I planted my tomatoes out in the open, and you know, in Massachusetts, you wouldn't think a second thought of that you just do that. But with here, it being such a more temperate climate, you really have to be concerned about the blights that could come towards the end of the season. And so quite a few people end up growing their tomatoes in greenhouses. And so with that, you just have to think a little bit more about the variety you want to grow, whether you want something that's a smaller tomato that grows a little quicker, so you can kind of have it grown before you have concerns with the blight.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, we got a lot of leaf spot on our tomatoes this year. We had so much rain where I live that they were perpetually soggy.
Yeah, this last year I had some tomatoes, and they ended up doing okay. There was only two plants that ended up getting lost to blight, and then the biggest issue I had was in August. We had a really warm summer, so it was good for the tomatoes. But by August, we did start to get some rain, and so they ended up splitting quite a bit, and just needed to use them really quick more than anything.
I know allotment gardeners, it becomes almost like a community where you meet the other gardeners. Have you gotten any strategies on dealing with the slugs and snails?
I have talked to some people, and there's kind of two sides to that. Yeah, allotments are great to meet different people, and there's certainly here in London, there's just such a makeup of different cultures that are out there. A lot of people from the Caribbean, and they're growing their certain vegetables, and I'm growing acorn squash, and they've never heard of it. So it's kind of fun trading some of those vegetables that we grow from different areas of the world and that we're used to. As far as the slugs and the snails, yeah, there's been some tips. You know, a lot of the people out at the allotment are, you know, the mindset of, oh, let's just get in there with the slug pellets and kill them. And I certainly have tried that to a certain extent. It's something that I didn't want to use entirely on it, but for certain areas, say like my lettuces that were really just getting devoured, that was something I tried, and I tried the organic one and I tried the non-organic one just to compare and contrast the differences to them. So that's something I've tried. This next year, one thing I'm trying to do a bit more on is with mulching. and experiment with that, and how the mulch will help keep the weeds down, and see how they'll do as far as habitat for the snails and whether it increases it or not. So that's something I'm going to play with. I'm also looking at nematodes, which is organic bacteria, I believe it is, that you can put into a water can and then put off onto your plot to help control it over a short period of time. So I want to try that. I'm a little concerned with it and how much it actually kills off and whether it starts to kill some of the good things. And then there's other things like having good areas for slow worms. Slow worms are a reptile. They look like a snake, but they're more of a lizard, and they don't bite or anything, and they are quite slow, especially during the winter time now. But they're great foragers of the slugs and the snails, especially their eggs. So anything you can do to start to encourage some of those creatures into your plot are a good thing to help control it.
Let's take a minute to thank our sponsors and then come back and play five quick questions. Attention, gardeners. Are you concerned about toxic chemicals, GMOs, and frankenfood? Don't panic. Grow organic. Discover my new resource for organic gardeners. Go to www.backtomygarden.com/myorganic. Do you want to save time, save money, and have your most amazing garden ever? Receive free tips, strategies, and gardening techniques from passionate gardeners around the world. Join the VIP club for free today at www.backtomygarden.com/VIP. Fabulous tips, fabulous. You know, Eric, I glanced at the clock and our time is whipping by. Now's the time in the show where we play a game called Five Quick Questions. This is your chance to share your wisdom and experience with rookie gardeners. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, sure. Bring it on.
And I've changed them, so I got to keep you on your toes.
All right, here we go.
Question one. What's the funniest or craziest mistake that you've ever made in the garden that you're willing to admit to in public?
Oh, yeah. There's one thing that I did this last year, and it's actually coming up on one of my new posts soon. And it was I pruned my apple trees wrong, and I didn't realize the distinction between fruit bearing apple trees versus fruit spur trees. And having taken over the allotment, and I had three small fruit trees out there, it turns out that one of them was a Bramley apple, and a Bramley apple, it's a big cooking apple that they grow here. And it's a tip or a partially tip bearing fruit, and I trimmed all the tips off, and I didn't get a single blossom this year, and I'm hoping I'll get something this next year, but we'll see what happens.
Oh boy! For listeners, head over to Eric's blog. He's got a lot of great content at www.thebeanpole.wordpress.com. Very good. Question two. What's a skill or a talent that you have in the garden that is particularly useful or unusual?
I think one thing that I've really been excited about how it's working with the allotment is growing my own fertilizer. You know, too many people end up getting their fertilizers from, you know, commercial plants that are taking a lot of energy to mine the resources from the earth and then produce it, you know, and then ship it to where it needs to go. And so I've been looking at what I can do to enrich the soils by making my own fertilizer. And I've done that with comfrey. I have a comfrey patch there. And even though it was my first year growing out there, I got two solid harvests of comfrey. So I feel good about that. And then I also have a wormery that I spent £15 on, which is about $25 U.S. dollars, and got some crates together and drilled some holes and put a lid on it and spent another, you know, maybe £10 on getting some worms. And it's been a solid producer of really good worm poop and pee coming out of that. That's been a good nutrient for the allotment.
Oh man, great tips! Absolute gold. I guess it is. It's black gold when you start doing your own comb.
Yeah, it is.
Nice. Question three. Any good websites to recommend to the new gardeners out there? Do you read any blogs or use any online sites?
Yeah, I do. I get a lot of my information from the web as I'm researching what to grow. And one website I love to go to is the RHS, Royal Horticultural Society. It's a great website. I'm a member of the organization and just has a lot of good information about different species you're looking to grow and whether it's asparagus or cherries and different types of cherries or basically anything that you're thinking about growing out there. It can give you some tips on how to grow them as well as some ideas on which are some of the best species. So I highly recommend that. And I think it's even though it is UK-centric, I think a lot of that information is helpful for people no matter where they live. Another website that I go to is permaculture.co.uk, and it's for the Permaculture magazine. It's a great source, and what the articles that I like there is it just gives a different slant to how to come up with ideas on whether it's controlling slugs or snail or looking at fertilizers or growing, building the soil in your beds and different tips from different people on how to do it in a more earth-friendly way.
Outstanding. I'll have links up on the blog to that. Permaculture.co.uk. Nice. Question four, Eric, is books. Do you have a favorite gardening book that you can suggest?
Yeah, a book I bought last year as I was starting to work on the allotment is it's called Veg Journal. V-E-G, and then journal, and it's by Charles Dowding. And Charles Dowding, he's really well known for his no-dig philosophy here in the UK, and I found that the book was just, it's a real easy read. It's does it month by month of what to expect into it, and so being that this was my first growing season here in the UK, it was really helpful just to kind of get a sense of the seasonality of what to do when. And just was chock full of lots of good tips. So I'd really recommend that.
Outstanding. I got to meet Charles. I don't know if you've heard that podcast. If you go to Back to My Garden and you type in Charles Dowding into the search feature, you'll see his podcast. Talk about heartache. Because he grows for market, right? And he told me how he lost like an enormous amount of salad greens to infestation in the spring and just shrugs it off like a pro.
He's definitely has years of experience there. I'll have to look for that podcast.
Yeah, it was a good one. Yeah, just to open up my eyes on the scale and the scope of being a for market gardener and to do it at the level that he does it at. You know, you can't get emotionally attached, can you?
No. I don't know. It's tough. You know, sometimes that's your livelihood. Then, so it's tough when things don't quite go right. So,
And it happens. I know my grandfather was a farmer and his joke was, how do you make a farmer a millionaire? And I go, I don't know. How do you make a farmer a millionaire? He says, give him 2 million. By the end of the year, he'll have 1 million left. So
yeah, it's a tough industry indeed.
Excellent. Question five is a fun one. There's no right or wrong answer. But it's very apropos because you're coming up on your second season of allotment gardening. Is there anything you've never grown that you're itching to experiment with?
I'm going to grow soybean. I've never grown soybeans before, and I love edamame. And so I'm going to try it. It's a species that originates from Southeast Asia, in the last decade or so, they've started to get some different cultivators that are can be grown up here in the UK in the climates that we have. So I'm going to give that a go. And then the other one is I've never grown lingonberries, and I'm going to try getting a lingonberry bush and seeing how that one does as well.
Lingonberry. Now I don't have to. L I N G O N. I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I know
it's a plant that's originally from Scandinavia.
Yeah,
so it does grow in cooler climates.
Nice.
And it's kind of like a cranberry. It's a bit tartar, but you can make a good jam out of it that you can, it goes in a sauce that goes along well with meat meals.
So, dear listener, if you have any suggestions for Eric on growing soybeans and edamame or lingonberry, connect with him on Twitter at @TheBeanPole1. Also follow his blog and share his content. He's got an excellent resources at www.thebeanpole.wordpress.com. Eric, the time has flown by. You're a brilliant guest.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun to talk to you.
I want to invite you to have the last word to the listeners today. And we're now in like something ridiculous, like 64 countries. It's amazing. So all over the world, can you leave us with a note of encouragement or a pearl of wisdom?
Oh, it's a tough one. I think if I were just to think about it, I think just remember that gardening's fun. And there's a lot of fun people that are gardening. And treat it as your playground. You know, try not to view it as this big, tough task that's ahead of you. And you're not going to grow all your veg that's going to look just like it does at the greenhouses. You know, just get dirty and have fun out there. And you'll have a good time.
Sensational. You've been a brilliant guest, Eric. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much.